before the existence of the universe, there is a battle. A battle of good and evil. It manifested its form in the creation of the universe, and it exists within each and every one of us right now. This battle exists within the very fabric of our being, the dance of atoms. Positively and negatively charged, dancing in a perpetual rhythm of attraction and repulsion. In the esoteric teachings of Hermeticism, this dance of atoms is not merely a physical phenomena, it is a reflection of a creative or destructive power. Atoms, in its very essence, seek to unite with its polar opposite. So do we humans seek to unite with opposite sex. Sexual union or sexual intercourse is the very foundation of creation, and the Hermeticists recognize how to use this atomic force of sex to create the macrocosm, meaning the universe or our life, desires and dreams, from the microcosm, meaning humankind or ourselves or within, and they call this sexual magic. The entire universe, all living beings, without the least exception, are ruled by the principle of two contrary forces, exercising one or the other, a power of inescapable attraction. One calls the forces positive and negative, and one rediscovers them in the good and bad, emission and reception, life and death, idea and action. On the physical plane, man is considered the positive pole, and woman the negative. On the mental plane, it is described in reverse, where woman is the positive or active pole, and man as the negative. In the science of the mysteries of Hermeticism, just as in nature or the physical plane, the female attracts the male, so we can attract to ourselves our desired prayers, our desires, our dreams, by creating the negative in order to attract the contrary, the positive. This is the principal basis of all magic. No law is superior to it, and it permits us to accomplish operations in two fashions. Intellectually, it is spoken calmly, without emotion, and sensually, it is spoken in love. No one can refute that the supreme miracle of nature is the procreation of the species. It is the manifestation of an energy, the union of two contrary poles, negative and positive. But in the union of man and woman, the contact is established not only in the physical plane, but in the mental plane, where the law of Hermes is affirmed. That which is below is like that which is above. Therefore, while the phallus of the man is positively polarized and the gaze of the woman is negatively polarized, the head of the man, the organ of his mental manifestations, is, to the contrary, negative and magnetic, for the rapport with the head of the woman, which is positive and electric. This explains why the man, preoccupied with the initiative concerning the physical manifestations of love, awaits, to the contrary, the invitation of the woman, her feelings and her mental passion, so that they can both climb the ladder of union in the upper planes. The sacred law of love regulates not only the earth, but the entire universe. We rediscover this revelation in Asia, in the sculptured images of the gods, with arms reaching to the sky, to consecrate or to terrify, to witness the truth of the Hermetic teachings of the Brotherhood of Light, and to symbolize the power of the holy liaisons of love. The hierophants of ancient Egypt knew the suggestive force of art. This is why they had it inserted in religion and imposed it on the sculptors and painters, making strict laws of the modes of artistic expression. They knew that if they made art impregnate the mind of people with certain truths, the people would involuntarily realize those truths in their sexual unions. And in this fashion, utilizing the creative energy of all the couples, the people would be as one in the astral sphere as divinities, and sustained moreover by the vital power of the imagination of the people. The astral collective imagination of the people therefore creates power. Love, as a divine force, continuously creates by uniting positive and negative elements. It draws strength from mystical joy or the fear of people bowing before an altar. Through generations, this love becomes a vessel for gathering forces. Depending on the guiding will, it brings either good or bad, light or shadow, life, or destruction. Love is the universal force that governs infinite space and has a powerful influence everywhere, guiding life. Communities that embrace these simple and practical principles are always in harmony with the eternal laws. This constitutes a great magic chain linking the material sphere with the upper or astral spheres or planes. Now this results in an alliance of human forces with the divine or spiritual forces. Then man learns self-control and becomes master of good and evil according to his will. As of now, religion is effaced and humanity has forgotten these primordial truths that can destroy our world. When the accumulated anger of the upper spheres is unleashed upon the earth in the cause of injustice and of chaos in human life, then man becomes powerless to stop the scourge or to master the storms that destroy the world. This is a critical period in the history of humanity, and each race has a role to play.
Sexual union should be considered with a prayer. The man who lives with his woman in perfect harmony understands us easily, and he who has a good time being with the loving and magnetic woman in all purity of sentiment and intention is reminded of another circumstance of life that is not abysmal but profound. For it also comes towards God and perfection, and in this radiance all of their conjoined forces touch the root of the opposite sex. For when the sexual act is perfect, the union of man and woman succeeds in all spheres of their respective beings, and their force increases tenfold in the higher worlds. This prayer is always exhausting, but it is necessary that the demand, the vow, the object of the prayer be formulated and imagined clearly. If the man and the woman imagine the same object or wish the same thing, this is always better. Don't mix precious metal with base substance. Unite with the woman of superior morals. Never use a prostitute or an ignorant virgin for a magical operation, nor a minor of less than 18 years of either sex, but accomplish the solemn act with your spouse or your lover. It is necessary in all cases that the woman chosen for the rite should have sexual knowledge of the man, be possessed of good health in body and mind, and she should have profound feelings and affections and emotion for the priest, for in this way is the magic effective. The union of the man with the woman must be innocent. Lust for pleasure must not be the main purpose. Transcend carnal pleasure. Aim at the union of the spirits if you want your prayer to be exhausted in ecstasy. If you conform to these principles, the sexual act will become a source of spiritual and material force for you, and a fountainhead of wisdom, happiness, and peace. In magic, you search for what which is called the fortune of the spirit. The physical body must be cared for properly. Hygiene is always a sacred responsibility, but especially when you prepare yourself for the rite of sexual union. We tell you that certain preparation must be made 7 days and 41 days in advance of the operation. Cleanliness is, then, of particular importance. Keep secret your magical intentions. Silence concentrates your forces and multiplies them. This is why when you are entering into the preparation period for an act of magic, you should not frequent the society of mundane persons too often, and you should talk as little as possible. Formulate your desire in advance, and don't forget that desire at the moment of coition, during which it is necessary to keep silence. Before, during, and after the act of love, hold a clear image of what you wish for. Eat simply and prefer natural foods. Don't take too much, don't drink too many liquids, avoid grease, alcohol, and spices. Sleep in a hard bed, the head to the north, the pillow flat. Your bedroom should always be cold and well-aired. Take a bath of air 2 times a week. Breathe deeply and retain the air in your lungs for as long as possible. Don't look at your woman too often, and look only when you're both excited. Don't take the woman if you're angry or if you're ill. Sleep well, and when you sleep, trust in yourself and the force of the divine law of love. Don't forget this important quote, "Love is the root of life." It grows according to circumstance, passion, temper, impulse, good or bad, the flame divine or human, the demons or the gods. Through your love, you unite with God. The instant that the semen of the man passes into the body of the woman who accepts it, is the instant of the greatest power, the greatest emotion of the life of the man. If he is, however, under the influence of carnal passion, of bestial instinct, the man is in suicide mode. He is lost and demoralized. To the woman, he will give disease and chaos, psychic and material. And the child he procreates will become an assassin, a mental cripple, a miserable being. To the contrary, if the union of the man with the woman is affected in the harmony of mutual love, and consequently, the ambient occult forces of the environment participates with joy in the solemn act. The man and the woman work to regenerate those forces, and the fruit of their embrace is success. The child of love is the child of superior forces, and the prayer of two hearts united is an effective prayer. All the forces and powers emanate from the feminine aspect of God, which also comes from every impulse. To draw forth the divine force in complete love, in real sympathy, in willing emotion, then you get beauty. The mind is sterile, and its force is rapidly exhausted. This is why we search for spiritual triumph not in the intellect, which tires and does not succeed, but in the will to love, which is unceasingly fertile. For love, sympathy, and virtue forms a ladder which leads to innumerable forces, the power and the wisdom of the heavens.
Keep in mind that these hermetic teachings of the Brotherhood of Light differ from those of the Gnostics regarding the release of semen or ejaculation. As discussed in the previous video, the Gnostic stresses the importance of completely avoiding orgasm leading to ejaculation. In contrast, the Hermetics advocates for the release of semen into a woman to impress or imprint the desired prayers of the couple in the upper realms. However, both traditions emphasizes the crucial role of unconditional love between partners and the necessity of avoiding lust during the practice of sexual magic. Based on our experience, we have found that cultivating immense love and affection for your partner, coupled with abstaining from the orgasm or ejaculation, significantly enhances our ability to manifest our desired prayers and longings. This approach also helps to avoid energy burnout and the downtime associated with ejaculation or orgasm. So what are your thoughts? Will you follow the teachings of the Hermetics or the Brotherhood of Light or the Gnostics that we encountered in the previous video, or perhaps blend the elements and apply both and find which works best for you? Feel free to leave your comments below and share your perspective. Thank you so very much for watching.